It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
With this podcast, we wrap up for the time being this series on arguing with God, with an incident in the life of Peter, where Peter argued with Jesus. He made back-to-back statements to the Lord. His first statement was so right, and his second was so wrong. In this contradiction, Peter exposes a crisis of discipleship familiar to every one of us, every follower of Jesus. The argument with God comes in the nature of Peter's rebuke of Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 21. Jesus had begun to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. The response, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Before we consider how and why this response is so wrong, let's go back one scene. Here's what happened that was so right. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The context leads us to conclude that Jesus refers to himself as Son of Man, drawing on the Old Testament prophecies of Daniel, chapter 7, etc. The predominant positions are that he is Elijah-like as a prophet of national renewal, using displays of heavenly power, or he's Jeremiah-like, a prophet pronouncing national judgment and experiencing opposition. We read that in Matthew 16, verses 13 and 14. Jesus then asks, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replies, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To this, Jesus answers with, among other things, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter's response concerning the identity of Jesus is divinely revealed. His is a clear, unambiguous declaration of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. Peter's first statement is about orthodoxy. It is a statement of right belief, and his statement is so right. But then he becomes so wrong. We return to the next scene in which Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter is so wrong for several reasons. First, how can Peter express strong disapproval of what Jesus has said? After all, did Peter not rightly declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Second, and closely linked to the first, is this oxymoron of saying in the same breath, "Not so, Lord." No and Lord just don't compute in the same sentence. Third, Peter's reprimand of Jesus is driven by Peter's expectations of Jesus. Although Peter is so right about the identity of Jesus, he is so wrong about the mission of Jesus and how it will be accomplished. It would seem Peter expects the imminent arrival of the kingdom of God with Peter in place of importance. After all, Jesus promised him the keys of the kingdom of heaven and all that implies in verse 19. Contrary to Peter's expectations, Jesus must suffer and be killed and be raised. And Peter just doesn't get it. Not yet. This flows into the fourth point addressed by the next scene, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 28. Come and die. Jesus not only foretells his impending suffering and crucifixion, but invites each of his disciples, his followers, to come after me, let him or her take up his or her cross, and follow me. Verse 24. In that day, a condemned person carried his or her own cross to the place of execution. It was a well-recognized and strong metaphor. Today, a similar image may be evoked by words like dead man walking. Jesus is inviting those who follow him to come and die. Jesus is showing his disciples what it means to follow their Lord. It is about denying oneself, verse 24. Losing one's life for his sake, verse 25. Not seeking to gain the world, verse 26. And living in the expectation of future accountability and reward for a life well lived for Jesus Christ, verse 27. What is there about following Jesus that we don't get? Peter's second statement is about orthopraxy. It is a statement about living life rightly. And his statement is so wrong. At this point, Peter doesn't get what it means to follow Jesus. And here's our so what. Matthew has the habit of making Peter representative of all disciples, and so followers of Jesus recognize elements of themselves in Peter. So read yourself into Peter's actions and Peter's words. Sometimes we think and say things about Jesus that are so right. What we say we believe is orthodoxy. We say a hearty amen to Peter's statement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But there are times when we say, "No, Lord." That is when we argue with God. We don't want to go where Jesus is leading us. Whether we are aware of it or not, it is at these times that we expose a crisis of our own discipleship. We are so right about believing, but just perhaps so wrong about living. Think about a time when you said, "Not so, Lord." What was he asking you to do? Where was he leading you to go? Revisit it with him. Peter argued with Jesus, and Jesus responded to Peter firmly but graciously. Eventually, Peter did get it, and so shall we. I conclude with a statement by Frederick Bruner. The Christian life is a throwaway life, a life that in a great dare decides that Jesus is what life is all about, and that following him is the greatest adventure in life.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.